This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the class of Sciences of the Quran. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss the description of the hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. We said that in Surah Al-Baqarah, the description of the hypocrites is mentioned in 13 ayah. From ayah number 8 until ayah number 20. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the characteristics of the hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved to give an example for them. And He gave two examples. The first example is in ayah number 17. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبُصِّرُونَ Their likeness is as the likeness of one who kindled a fire. Then, when it lighted all around him, Allah took away their light and left them in darkness, so they could not see. This is the first example. صُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ Ayah number 18. They are deaf, dumb, and blind, so they return not to the right path. Now, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give an example for the hypocrites? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already caution the Muslims that they try to deceive Allah and the believers? They perceive not. They make fun of the believers. They lie. Wasn't that enough? That's the beauty of the Quran. First, there are descriptions mentioned. And now this is an example. Because people, Allah is giving the example of the fire. So in this case, whenever you have a fire, you can remember that example. مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا What is this example? Imagine someone in a very dark place. And he kindled the fire. The purpose is to see the light. So you walk as long as you have light. Once you lost your light, what will happen? It becomes dark. Not only that, you are in the middle now. You cannot go back. And you cannot move forward. You are in this situation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, deaf, dumb, and blind. Now these are descriptions, these are the characteristics of whom? The hypocrites. Now, does that mean whenever we see someone who's deaf or blind, he's a hypocrite? No? Then what's the meaning? What do we learn from this ayah? What do we learn? Can you tell me? Yes.
They can't hear the message of Allah. Like, they don't ponder over it and they're blind to see that it's the truth.
Yes, so the blindness here is not physical blindness, but rather it's blindness from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else?
Blindness from guidance.
Blindness from guidance, that's true.
They had the guidance and they lost it.
What's the guidance here in the ayah? Where is it? It's not mentioned in the ayah.
The light.
The light, exactly. So the light is similar to what? The guidance, the Islam. That's the light. So they lost it, they got it, but what happened? They lost it. What do you learn from this?
That you can become a Muslim, you can become, Iman can touch your heart, and you can use it. It's something that comes and goes.
Iman comes and goes, very good, that's true. What else? They received the guidance. Did they keep it?
No.
So not anyone who receives the guidance, he will keep it. You need to remember that. What else?
They're too dumb to realize.
The dumbness here, what's the meaning of dumb? Inability to understand or not hearing? What do you think? Yes? In arrogance. Well, in this ayah in particular, where is the arrogance mentioned? In general, that's true. They are arrogant. We mentioned that earlier. Yes. That's true. Allah guides whom He wills. But again, there is one important fact here. If you refuse to get the guidance, do not expect the guidance to be instilled in your heart. Do not blame people. Do not blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, if Allah wanted to guide me, He would have guided me. It's you who refused the guidance. The iman is light in your life. The iman is light. It shows you the straight path. The more you keep the iman, the stronger you are, the more light you will have in this life and in the hereafter. So again, we learn from this the greatness and eloquence of the Quran when it gave this example. Fire, light, stands for guidance for Islam. Darkness stands for kufr. Now when Allah says, "Summun bukum umyun fahum la yarji'un," they do not turn to the straight path. What does that tell you? It's very difficult for the hypocrite to become pure believer. Because he already had the guidance and he rejected it. So now to have it again, it is really difficult. So try to avoid sinning. Do not say, "One day I performed Hajj, one day I did a good deed, so that's enough for me." You don't know. Maybe you will not be able to go back to that good rank. These physical examples are useful for us. What Allah mentioned earlier about the hypocrites, when they are told to believe and they say, "We believe," these are things that are not tangible. You don't see them. You see the reflection of them. But this example is physical. You could see it. Don't tell me, "I believe all of you, you saw the fire one day, right?" Don't tell me you never saw the fire. You never saw the light. Now we have lots of lights. So always you relate this to the hypocrites. Again, that's the beauty of the Quran. We learn from this that even the hypocrites, they could be touched by the iman. Why? Because they benefited. How? The hypocrites, they want to show the people that they are with them. So they go and they pray. Maybe while they are doing something good, maybe it will affect them. But it's not enough for them to be guided fully. Now after that, Allah mentioned, Alhamdulillah. Allah mentioned another example. This example is the opposite of the previous example. The previous example was talking about what? They are both about the hypocrites. The first example is the example of what? Example of what? The first example was talking about what? About water, about life, about fire. Now what about this example? The second example. Or like a rain storm. So we have what? At the beginning we had fire. Now we have what? Water. Two opposite things. Yet they are talking about what? The hypocrites. The same thing. That's the beauty of the Quran again. You taste these meanings when you read the Quran. That's the eloquence of the Quran. Allah gave you one example about the fire, talking about the hypocrites, another opposite example from the rainstorm, yet it's still about the hypocrites again. That's the beauty of the Quran. Or like rainstorm from the sky, wherein is darkness, thunder, and lightning. They thrust their fingers in their ears to keep out the stunning thunderclap for fear of death. But Allah ever encompasses the disbelievers. أو كصيب من السماء فيه ظلمات ورعد وبرق يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط بالكافرين. What do you understand from this ayah? How can we learn also some lessons from this ayah similar to the previous ayah? Now we said the guidance in the previous example was what? The light, the fire. Here, where is the guidance?
It's the light
in the sky that comes with the rain. The light, the thunder?
Thunder.
What happens to the disbelievers, to the hypocrites?
They get scared.
They get scared. And we said one of the characteristics of the hypocrites that they are cowards. They are fearful always. They fear death. What else? What happens when this thunderstorm happens? What do? They put their fingers in their ears. Why?
So they don't
hear the thunder. What's the thunder here in this example? The guidance. So they don't want to be guided. So if you don't want to be guided, and that's exactly what the hypocrites did. Yes?
So they put their stubborn and they don't want to hear the truth.
Exactly. They are stubborn because they are invited once, twice, three times, always they are invited. Believe. Do we believe like the fools? That's what was their response. So they are arrogant, they are stubborn. What else? Yes?
They don't want to hear about the punishment after death.
They don't want to hear the punishment after death. Good. Look at the last clause of the ayah. Remember, always, no matter what the disbelievers do, if we are true believers, they cannot harm us. Why? Allah is always on top of everything. Allah is always in control. Remember that. No matter whatever they try to do. At the time of the Messenger ﷺ, they tried to harm the believers. They made fun of them. They mocked at them. They tried to assassinate the Messenger ﷺ. Eventually, they could not do anything. Yes, they may harm the believers for some time. They may cause some trouble. But at the end, you need the support. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting you. So there are many lessons in this ayah. Now we're moving to another important topic, which is the ibadah. And it is in the book from page 150 until 169. It is ayah 21. The significance of this ayah is that it included the first command in the Quran. What's the first command in the Quran? Iqra. When you open the Quran, the first page you will find Iqra. What's the first command in the Quran? Yes.
Shaza says worship Allah.
Yes, very good, Shaza. Ya Yuhannas, u'budu rabbakum. That's the first command. That's the first order came in the Quran. Ya Yuhannas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O people, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, that you may have piety. Now, this surah, is it a Meccan surah or Medinan surah?
Medina.
What did you say, Babur? Medina or Mecca?
Medina.
Why Medina? Exactly, because Allah mentioned the Munafiqeen. Yes, their name is not mentioned, but that's their description. The nature of the Medinan ayah is to talk to everybody or to the believers? To the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ. It's always about the believers. Yet here it says all people. For everybody. There's no contradiction. Again, as we said, these are in general. These are the characteristics, but sometimes there are exceptions. In the exam I asked you, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Is it Medinan or Meccan ayah? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Let me hear, didn't you answer? Meccan or Medinan? Meccan, why? It is seeking refuge with Allah. It's about what? Tawheed. And is it a short or long phrase? Short, but it is Medina. Why? Because it was revealed after the Prophet ﷺ was inflicted with magic by Labid ibn al-Asam, the Jewish man, in Medina. The story is famous. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari. So it is Medina. Again, there are some exceptions. Some scholars said this ayah in particular, it's Meccan ayah. Because the nature of the Meccan ayahs is to talk to everybody. But still, there is no contradiction. It could be Medinan ayah. O people, worship your Lord who created you and those before you. Allah is telling you, the one who created you, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Allah is telling you, in order to tell the others to worship Allah, remind them of the favors. And one of the greatest favors is creation. Who created you? The one who created you, He deserves to be worshipped. Allah did not only create you, but He created those before you. A sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may have piety. What's the outcome of ibadah? What do you get by ibadah? Hasanat, Jannah. In this ayah, what do you get? Piety. Right? You may attain piety. That's the only thing you'll get by the ibadah. What do you get from the ibadah? You protection from hellfire, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only thing. There are students, I asked them, that was a homework, the merits of ibadah. Mention 50 different things that you will get by the ibadah. Husn al-khuluq, how? Health, physical health or
both?
Strength, doesn't it give you strength? Spiritual strength and physical strength, or only spiritual strength?
Both.
How? How it gives you physical strength, ibadah?
Physical strength because you stay hungry, so that's good for you. Maybe sometimes you have to stay hungry.
You stay hungry. When you're staying hungry, are you weaker or stronger? Patience. But patience, again, is it physical or spiritual? This is something psychological. But physical, your immune system is much, much stronger when you are fasting. Not only fasting. By saying istighfar, do you know that when you seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will become stronger in your body? وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. He increases you in your strength. That's what Hud told his people. That's what the Messenger ﷺ told Fatima and Ali radiallahu anh, when they came asking for a servant. And he told them, don't you want something better than a servant? Once you lay down, you want to sleep, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. That's better for you than a servant. How it's better? Physically. It gives you strength. There are many advantages of the ibadah. So again, I need you to think of what you will get by doing the ibadah. Don't make it a homework. If you don't get at least 20, 30 different things, it will become a homework. Students were asked to give 50 different things. I have 150 things that you will get by the ibadah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminded the people that it's not enough to say He is the creator. Because that's what the kuffar of Mecca did. If you ask them who created them, they would say Allah. So if you admit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your creator, you have to worship Him. So the tawheed of worship, which we call tawheed al-uluhiyya, is a result of tawheed al-rububiyya, the tawheed of lordship. When you admit that Allah is your creator, He's the Lord, this entails worshipping Him alone. So they are both connected to each other, tawheed al-rububiyya and tawheed al-uluhiyya. One of them is not enough without the other. You cannot say, yes, Allah has created me, but I could worship someone else. You cannot do that. Since you admitted that He is the one who worshipped you, He is the one who created you, you have to worship Him. other favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا, who has made the earth a resting place for you. How the earth is a resting place? Firash literally in Arabic means bed. It's like bed. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Imagine if the earth is not accessible, walkable. What will happen? Imagine if the moment you walk, your foot touches the earth, it boils because of the heat. What will happen? All these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to thank Him for. Imagine if you cannot drive. There are places where there are valleys and mountains. Imagine if the entire earth is only mountains and valleys. If it's only 5 miles distance, it will take from you hours to reach there. Why? Because the earth is not straight. It's not accessible to walk on, to run, to drive, to ride. This is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people are not thinking of because they are used to. They think that if something is repeated automatically, that means it's for granted. It's not. One day, an earthquake happens, and everything is destroyed. What can you do? And it happened. It already happened many places. People forget. Or they try to ignore. They are not worried. They think that everything is granted. It's not. So this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sky as a canopy, and sent down water from the sky and brought forth therewith fruits as provision for you. What is significant about this? Sending the rain, bringing the fruit. It's a reminder. But what's the big deal again about it? You don't have it. The interesting thing about the plants of the earth. Do we have different water? So we get apple and different water, we get orange, or it's the same water? It's the same water. How we have these different types of fruits? Who made it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, people don't think. This is ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusqa bima'in wahid. It's watered by one type of water. Yet you have many types of provision, many types of food. So this is, remember, one day maybe you will lose it. So be grateful. Acknowledge these blessings. How? Not only by saying, yes, you have to say Alhamdulillah, but you have also to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most important thing you should do. Then do not set up rivals. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ unto Allah in worship while you know. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now here's the thing. Do not set up rivals unto Allah in worship while you know. Does that mean if you don't know, it is permissible to set up rivals? Because Allah says, while you know. What if you don't know? Is it permissible?
If you don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, what made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the deen exists?
Yeah. Don't set up rivals. Do not associate any partner with Allah while you know that He is the creator, while He is the provider. Does that mean if you do not know that Allah is the provider, you can worship another God? It's the nature. So what's the use of mentioning while you know? From their hearts?
Yes, they knew the truth.
They knew the truth. So if they did not know the truth, it is permissible to worship another God? That's my question, because Allah is telling you, do not set up rivals while you know. That means if you don't know, go ahead, set up rivals. If someone came and said, that's what I understand, what do you tell him?
After all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the good and the bad, and then warn you, if you know the good, then you do the bad.
Yes, Allah is telling you how worse is the case of the disbelievers. They know that Allah has created them, yet they set up rivals with Him. That does not mean even if you don't know, you're allowed to, but that means you already know. Even if you don't know, you don't have the right. How about if you know? Just like when Allah says about al-riba, do not eat up usury interest multiplied time after time. Does that mean if it's one time multiplied, is it permissible? No, but Allah is telling you how horrible is this when you eat, like you pay 100 and you get 300, twice the amount that you paid or you gave. So it is the same. Then we move to another issue, which is very important. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down to our servant, then produce a surah, the like thereof, and call upon your witnesses if you are truthful. But if you do it not, and you can never do it, then fear the fire, whose fuel is men and stones prepared for the disbelievers. First, Allah reminded us with the blessings, with the favors. Now Allah is doing what here in this ayah? Allah is
challenging,
cautioning, threatening. That's the balance of the Quran. There is always promise and there is always threat. There is reward and there is punishment. There is paradise and there is hellfire. That's the way it works. You cannot rely only on punishment. People will be pessimistic. Do not rely only on reward. People will tend to forget the punishment. You have always to be balanced. That's how the Quran. Now, raib in Arabic is not only doubt. Shak is the, we could translate it to doubt. Raib is doubt with fear. That's why, again, the problem with translation, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ, because the kuffar, they have doubt and they have fear as well. Many times you want to talk, don't talk to us. They don't want to hear about the hereafter. They don't want to hear about the punishment. They want to take matters easy. It's not easy. It is serious. They are in doubt with fear. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. We have sent down to our servant. Who's our servant? Who's meant here with this ayah? The Prophet ﷺ. Why didn't Allah say to our messenger? He's abd. That's true. That's the most honored position for a human being, to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned the Prophet ﷺ in the best positions with that word. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. Exalted is he who took his servant in the night in a journey. He did not say who took his messenger, who took his servant. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. Ubudiyya, slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the highest that you could get. So this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our servant, again, abdina, he's ours. So again, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then produce a surah. Now this is not the first step of the challenge. The challenge went through several steps. The first step, they were asked to produce the entire Quran, and they were unable. Allah told them, even if jinn, all the jinn and mankind gathered together in order to produce the like of the Quran, they won't be able. Then 10 surahs, then one surah, and they could not. One surah. If you cannot, you have to admit that it's not from Him. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And call upon your witnesses if you are truthful. But if you do it not, and you can never do it. Again, this is the challenge. You can never do it. Let people come and say, we were able to do it. If they did it, that means this is wrong. They could refute the entire Quran. And this is a miracle by itself. They will never be able to do it. Musaylim al-Kadhab, who tried once to do it, is called the liar for the end of the life forever. Because everybody knew that he was a liar. He heard few surahs and he thought that he could be able to make up few surahs like that. Once Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he came to Musaylima before he becomes a Muslim. And Musaylima asked him what was revealed to Muhammad. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he told him, today there was a fluent, eloquent surah was revealed. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So Musaylima told him, even me, there is something was sent down to me. And he made up few words, funny words, stupid words. And Amr ibn al-As told him, by Allah, you know that I know that you are a liar. He did not tell him that's a lie. He told him, you already know that I know you are a liar. Nobody could produce the like of the Quran. There are many Arabs who are not Muslims. And they admit that the level of the Quran, the eloquence of the Quran is really high. Impeccable. You cannot even reach close to it.
There is nothing that was done by man that wasn't exceeded by another man.
Yes.
But there is nothing done by a prophet that was reached by any other man.
Yes, that's true.
All the way until our time.
Yeah. Every time, the athletes, they always break the records. They, in anything except the miracles. Because it's not from them. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah says, but if you do not know, if you do it not, and you can never do it, then fear the fire. What is this fire? The fire, a specific fire, the fire, whose fuel is many. So its fuel is not gas, gasoline, it's not oil. The fuel of the fire is men and stones. So you have to be fearful. All the fire, all the heat that we have in this life, it's one portion of 70 portions. The hellfire in the hereafter is 70 times higher than the fire in this life. If it's the same, it should be enough. How about if it's 70 times higher? The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with the companions and they heard a sound of a rock and he told them this rock reached the bedrock of hellfire. It was thrown 70 years ago and now it reached the bedrock of hellfire. How deep it is. It was kindled 1,000 years until it became red. Another 1,000 years until it became white. And then 1,000 years until it became black, dark. 3,000 years, the hellfire is burning. It is serious. That's why Allah said, prepared. It's already prepared. It's already there. What do you learn from this? Prepared. It's there. It's real. Don't think it is a joke. It's prepared. So the only thing between you and hellfire is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't do it. Again, that's the eloquence of the Quran. If you wanted to threaten someone, I will do. But if you already did, they will be fearful. If you threaten your child and you tell him, don't do it, I will. But if he sees that you are serious, he will not do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that hellfire is real. It's already there. It is prepared. So it's not a joke. And of course, the hellfire is everlasting. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are abiding there forever. It's their dwelling forever. And it is there. The next ayah, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And give glad tidings to those who believe. Again, remember the balance. Punishment, reward. Reward, punishment. It's always like that. And do righteous good deeds that for them will be gardens under which rivers flow. The rivers of paradise, they don't have tunnels to go through. Unlike the rivers in this life, you have a path. In paradise, they don't have banks, edges. They are just flowing. This is something amazing. That's why paradise is not like anything you could imagine of. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Believe and do righteous good deeds. Always believe and do righteous good deeds. It's not only belief. It's not only wishes. You have to do something. You want the reward? You work for it. You want the prize? You do something. There will be gardens under which rivers flow. Every time they will be provided with fruit therefrom, they will say, this is what we were provided with before. This has two meanings. Whether they will compare it to what they were given in this life. So we have apples here, and in paradise there will be apples. It's the same in name, the same in shape, but the taste is different. You cannot even compare it to the apples. Also, scholars said in the hereafter, like bananas, oranges, they don't have covers. You don't need to peel off anything. Because these covers for protection from bacteria, in the hereafter, there is nothing like that. It is so pure that it doesn't need any cover. Any crust, it's opened, it's ready for eating. So that's the fruit of the hereafter. The other meaning that even there, when you are given, when you're provided with these fruits, the next time you'll get it the same, but it tastes better. So you are always in continuous happiness. And they will be given things in resemblance. That's the meaning again, in resemblance. Is it the same like in this life? The name is the same, but the taste is different, or it is there in resemblance, but every time it's greater. And they shall have therein purified spouses. Purified spouses, purified from everything. No sweating, no defecating, no bleeding, no anything you could imagine, impure. No even impure, useless words, harmful words, pure. Totally pure. And they will abide therein forever. You may be happy you are given this for 2 days, 3 days. In paradise, it is forever. That's by itself is enough. Even if you are given a little, but it is forever, it should be enough. Yet, you will be given all these things. With this, we will conclude our session for today, inshallah. هذا صلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. Any question?
The first ayah was revealed is 21, right?
21? No, I did not say. The first ayah was revealed, we already said it's Iqra.
Oh, okay.
The first command you will find in the Quran is Iqra.